I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we are back in the cast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pops Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Papa Menno. You can find me on Instagram at Pops.Culture or on Twitter at Papa O Menno. As always, well, maybe not last week, but as usual, I am joined by my trusty co-host, Gabe Eppard. Gabe, glad to have you back. How are you doing this week?
I'm all right. I was actually violently ill, though. Like, I wasn't making an excuse or anything. I was actually so sick last week. I thought I was going to die. Like,
all right, no one accused you of making an excuse. I just said you weren't here last week.
I'm just saying. I was so sick. I thought I was going to, like, I did like 3 COVID tests. Like, it's got to be COVID. I'm dying of it. I was fine.
This guy's one of the cases of monkeypox.
Yo, if that starts, I was thinking about that too. If that starts to spread like a lot, like people thought the racism was bad with COVID. You can't name a disease the monkeypox. Fucking gonna get a lot of racism coming with that too. So I'm like, I hope it is not the same thing. Besides that, I am good. Life is good. The weather's been pretty good here, so God is good. I did have something to tell you, but I can't remember now, so.
Yo, right before we started recording, I'm like, bro, you know what you're going to say for the intro? This guy's like, yeah, I'm always ready. Now this guy's like, yo, I did have something to say, but I don't remember what it was.
You, no. I remember it was, okay, so now that, like, I feel like more and more people have, like, come around to the podcast and, like, listening to it and that, like, I gotta be careful what I say on this thing these days. Like, it's not as fun, but I can't really, but I can't throw my whole ass life out there like that all the time. I'm coming off another facing the consequences for the things I've said on this podcast. And it gets worse and worse each time, but you're not here to control me or tell me what to say, but I know.
You just say stuff and then not name drop, and then that way you won't get in as much trouble.
No, because everyone, they're going to know who the story is. Like, it's not the name drop. It's not the name dropping. People, it's not like these things happen to these people with other people. It's just me. So, trying to keep the podcast interesting, but also not destroy my life continuously. So, you know how it'd be.
Yeah, I mean, I've had those couple instances too. I remember I mentioned something about this girl on the podcast, and then instantly, like, afterwards got in massive trouble with her. So,
yeah.
Even though I didn't even say her name, but
I know. Well, I
but she was partly to blame for listening. Like, why? Like,
okay.
No, I mean, like, if you don't like someone, why would you listen to their podcast? It makes zero sense. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But whatever.
Yeah. These are people who are in my life, and I.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit different. That's a different story.
But I was just like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's no one's fault but mine. But, you know, I want to stay interesting. I need to use, like, stuff that actually happens. But got a fine line to balance there. How are you?
Pretty good. I was actually going to come on this podcast and like talk about my good weekend that I had, but yesterday I actually got racially profiled for the first time in adulthood. So that was probably way more interesting than the weekend that I had.
It definitely wasn't your first time. You just probably didn't know about the other times.
No, no, no. Okay, well, this one was very overt in my adulthood. Like, it's happened to me when I was a kid. I definitely experienced racism overtly when I was a kid. But for most times in adulthood, I haven't really faced it that much. Or if I have, it's been pretty subtle to where I just kind of let it go. But this one was full on, like, this guy was being racist straight up.
Okay, but wait, before you tell that one, though, I had, what's that expensive store that's in the mall? Like, that one has like a cafe inside and everything, and the big
Nordstrom?
Main mall downtown. Not Nordstrom, but like the where the bay is, but like the nice stuff or something. I don't know. Anyways, I was in one of those stores and I was like going to different levels and walking around, and I could see the clothes, plain clothes, like guy, you know, where they try to stop like shoplifters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that guy following me everywhere for like a half an hour because they're just dressed like normal people, right? And I could see him like the whole time. And so the guy would pick up something and then like walk and then kind of walk the other way. And the guy would just follow me everywhere. And then finally at the end, I was like, you know, I could like saw you the whole time following me. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And like walks away. I was like, but he followed, like, I went to different levels. And I could see him like hiding behind bags and shit. And I was like,
they think they're so slick with that shit, and they never are. Would you classify that as overt though or covert? Is that overt racism?
Like, I don't think no, that's not overt.
See, I've experienced that shit.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, continue.
Yeah. So I was coming back from the library yesterday, just like working on some stuff. Very productive. I was in a really good mood too. Like, the sun was out. It was a nice day. Everything was going well. I came back from the library, and I'm entering my apartment. So my apartment has two doors to enter. There's a main door and then obviously the door inside to the building itself. And there's a guy who's in front of me and he goes first. Like, he gets there first. So he opens the door and then he like stops at the entrance to put on his mask. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to wait for this guy. And then he pulls out his fob. But like, as he's pulling out his fob, he kind of fumbles with it and takes a little bit longer to take it out. And then when he finally does pull it out, he taps on the door, but he doesn't hit the handicap button. Well, ours is not a button. It's like a wave sign now. He doesn't wave his hand to open the door. He just opens it manually. And then he like almost tries, like, he doesn't really try and close it, but he opens it so fast where it's like only he's allowed to go in.
Yeah.
And then I wave my hand to open it fully so that the door opens. Plus it's COVID. Like, I don't really touch the door handles that often. So I wave it and I open it. And then as I'm walking through the door, he stops in front of the door and turns back to me and says, do you live here? And I'm like, yes, I live here. And then he's like, well, it took you a while to pull out your fob. Where's your fob? And I was like, what do you mean, where's my fob? He's like, what? Like, why didn't you take out your fob and hit the button? I'm like, bro, you were in front of me. Obviously, I'm going to wait for you to go through. I was like, you're in front of me. I'm going to wait for you to open the door first, and then I'm gonna walk in after. Like, I'm not gonna be rude and just jump the door because you were in front of me. And then he's like, yeah, but like, you should have probably just grabbed your fob. And I'm like, man, like, what are you talking about? Like, you were ahead of me. I'm obviously just gonna let you go through. I wasn't gonna rush through the door. And then he's like, no worries, bro, it's all right. And then like, he walks off. So clearly this guy being a dickhead, he decides to go check his mail because he's probably too scared to be in the same elevator as I am. So then I open the elevator door and like, I hop in. I thought about waiting for him, but I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to head back to my house. So then I hopped in. But yeah, that's pretty much the story.
Wait, that was you getting profiled?
Yeah. No one's ever asked me if I live in this unit ever. This guy's a guy. He's not like a security guard. This guy's just someone who lives in the house.
You got in with his thing. With his fob.
Because he was in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't turn. The, if someone, okay, if someone in my.
How's he supposed to know you live there, though?
Why is that his place to ask anyone who lives there? If I open my door.
Some of them literally have a sign on that says.
My building doesn't have that. My building doesn't, like, I'm telling you right now, I've lived in my building for the past 3 years. No one in the history of the building has ever turned around and asked anyone. I've had numerous times where multiple people have been in front of me and opened the door for me, or I've been in front of the person and opened the door for the person behind me. I've never stopped to turn around and be like, yo, do you live in this building? No one's ever stopped me and been like, do you live in this building? We don't even have a sign that says you shouldn't let in visitors. Like, none of that's on the door. If that was on the door, it'd be understandable because, like, obviously those buildings, people have them because an incident probably occurred and you need to, like, watch who you're letting in. But my building almost doesn't have that for a reason.
Every building I've had, that's supposed to what you're supposed to do. So that's why I was like, it's like they tell you, they send it out to everyone and say,
well, we don't, they've never been a notice or anything like that. That's why I'm saying this is profiling. If there was a notice, I'd understand. Like, if they'd sent the notice around and be like, oh yeah, you guys should stop letting like random visitors in or random people in. Sure. That's a whole different story. But this guy was literally just trying to be a dickhead about it.
I think that's covert still.
I think it's over for the fact that he actually stopped and said it to me. But it could be covert. I don't know. I'm just saying. I when it happened, I wasn't 100%. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt too, because I was like, was this actually racial? Like, I didn't really think it was at first. But like the way he was acting afterwards, I was like, man, this guy's a complete dickhead. Like, I don't know if someone else was there, he would have asked them, because I've honestly never seen that in my building ever. Not even really? One time. Not one person has ever stopped me or stopped anyone else and been like, do you live here, to ask them if they're trying to get through.
All the buildings.
And we have tons of old people in my building too. So if I was expecting to get that, it wouldn't even have been from this guy who's like probably in his 50s. I would have expected to get that from like one of the older ladies who lives in our building, or like an older gentleman. And I have never seen that. So
did you have your fob out?
Yeah, I honestly pulled my fob, like, I pulled my fob out, but I put it back in my pocket because I was like, oh, this guy's going to get the door. I don't know if he saw me because he was ahead of me, so he probably didn't see. But even still, I'm just like standing there to wait. He's like, you were just like waiting behind me. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm not going to rush the door just because you were putting on your mask. I wasn't assuming that you were like fumbling your bag or anything like that. I was like, oh, this guy's putting on his mask. I'm just going to wait for him to open the door. It's like courtesy. And it wasn't even like that long that he's put on his mask. It wasn't like it was like 10 minutes he was waiting there or some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It pissed me off during the day, but I was just, after I was like, whatever, fuck it.
Oh, when was that? Yesterday?
Literally yesterday, yeah.
Oh. Are you, has it thrown you off? Yesterday was a bad day then.
No, it was good. Everything was good other than that. Like, it wasn't a big deal. I honestly, like, I'm only upset about it because I'm on the podcast and I'm reliving the moment right now. Yeah. But like, I generally don't care. It's just like, it was just shocking to me because, like I said, I've been in this building for 3 years. No one's ever asked me that question in my life.
Fair.
So it's just like awkward as shit. But yeah, I mean, my weekend was good too. I went to go see our boy Nova. He had a performance actually on Friday. I guess we'll start with this story once I intro the podcast. I'll get into it after that. But yeah, this is episode 130 of the Pops Culture Podcast. As always, guys, if you do us a huge favor, continue to like, rate, review, subscribe on all major streaming platforms. That's iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music. Some housekeeping, actually, some good news as well, too. We are now available as well on iHeartRadio. So whoever's using that app or is out there listening to this podcast through that app, you can catch us on iHeartRadio. I've also moved hosting sites to Acast, and yeah, they should offer, I think they offer more opportunities. So hopefully they'll be able to help grow the podcast a little bit more as well too. Since they're hosting though, I'm hoping that this just uploads correctly. If it doesn't, I don't know. I'll fix that and see how I can get them to upload it correctly. But yeah, it should upload correctly. This should be up on time. But yeah, that's some good news for us going forward. And yeah, we'll start off with the first story. Like I said, over the weekend, I went to go see our boy Nova. He had a performance on Friday. It was really dope. He performed his new song, CTL, which you'll be hearing at the front of this podcast as well, too. And yeah, he did a good job. It's been a while since I've been to one of those music shows. So
yeah,
it was a little bit awkward for me at first, just walking up in there. But after...
Why?
I don't know. Because one... I went solo like I normally do, but like it's been a while since I've gone to those solo. So it's like a different, I just forgot how different of an atmosphere it is with like all the artists out there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And this one was a little bit different too, because it wasn't strictly music. It was a complete art show. So there was different acts doing different things, such as like the people were like selling paintings, or they were selling their goods and stuff like that as well too. So it wasn't just strictly singers. But funny enough, there was actually stand-up comedians that came and performed, and and I love stand-up comedy. Like, yeah. Stand-up comedy is so, it's such a good time. Even from some of the rookies and stuff like that, or the people who haven't been on the scene that much. Like, I have a couple comedian friends. You guys know this. Comedian Matt Henry, he's been on here. I've seen his set. Zayn Ali, who's also been on this podcast too. I've seen his set as well, and he's a good comedian. And they're both up and coming and stuff. But the ones that I saw at this event were not the greatest. Like, you could tell they were very rigid in their set. Like, they didn't have much fluidity with, like,
yeah,
running a set. So there's three of them, and the first one that went on was this girl who was actually, like, she's like super cute and real nice, but her set was all predicated on doing crowd work, and yeah, the crowd that we had at this event was not really feeling it, because part of her jokes were just stuck on, like, crude humor, a lot of, like, sexual stuff, It's like, it was just very juvenile and elementary, and Her questions weren't really the greatest either, so she wasn't really, like, able to do much crowd work that way, and then she couldn't hear people's answers, which is a disaster for crowd work. So, like, when someone give their name, she'd be, like, saying the wrong name, and it's like,
what?
Yeah.
Tim, I can't. Jim, which one is it? Kind of kills the joke.
Yeah. So her delivery was bad, and I just realized that, like, well, for her set, and I think the second guy's was a little bit better, but for her set specifically, I just think that she needs to focus more on writing and actually having jokes rather than trying to rely on what's going on in the crowd, because you can't really get a good feel from the crowd if you're not funny off the rip. Like, I think you have to start off with a couple jokes to warm the crowd up and then kind of get into crowd work. But she just went straight off with the crowd work, and then she stuck with it. Like, I think she only told one joke, and the joke kind of fell flat because it was a little bit extreme. It was like,
maybe she didn't even write a set. Like, I feel like if counting on the crowd is kind of a bold move especially at an amateur one type thing. Like,
yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. It's not a good move, especially as an up and coming comedian. Like, unless you're really good at talking to people like that, you should do it, but she clearly wasn't. But shout out to her though. Like, I respect comedy so much. Because
you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
And literally the best comedians ever have all bombed.
For sure. So, and that's the thing. Yeah. When you're starting up, you're gonna bomb way more times than you're gonna actually kill.
I remember I had such a painful one that I did, and I was like, because the first time, you know what the biggest problem was? The first time I did it, like, it went, like, luckily, really smoothly, you know what I mean? It was
like beginner's luck shit.
Yeah, type thing. Like, I said some witty shit that I probably would have, I watched it again. I was like, how did I do that? Because I would never normally be able to do, you know what I mean? I was like, I just, like, things just hit. I was like, oh, wow. And, like, people were like, oh, such a good job and stuff. I was like, Jesus. And then so I was like, this is easy for me. Like, I can, and then I started preparing less and less, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're like, I'm a natural. And then, everything that could go wrong went wrong too. And you're kind of just standing there. And at the end of the game, I was like, fuck. I just, like, walked away. everyone goes through it.
Yeah. It's literally like the podcast. Like, the first episode you record for a podcast always bangs because you have so much excitement and it's just like everything flows. And then after that, you realize there's so much preparation that has to go into it. And
Episode 130 and just like, fuck, I don't fucking know. I'm gonna take a nap. Like, get the guy, I don't even want to do this right now.
Because I don't remember what I'm gonna tell on the podcast.
was there any other good sets?
Yeah, so the second guy went on, he did better than she did, but he also wasn't that great either. And I think, like, just the crowd, like, the jokes that he was telling for that crowd just weren't really hitting that much. But the third guy, I think, was really good. I think he would be able to adapt anywhere because he was doing impersonations of singers such as, like, Bruno Mars, Michael Jackson, stuff like that. And he's a really good singer. Like, he was able to hit those notes really well and perform. So I thought he was funnier. I just don't think that at that point as well, too, it was kind of late. And I feel like some people had probably been there for a while, so they might have been a little bit tired and not really into it as much, but I think that he did the best out of all of them, and he seems like the most seasoned vet out of them. So he was a good performance. But outside of that, it was all right. And then Nova went on after. He performed his songs, did a really good job with those, and then performed his new song with I can't remember the dude's name at the moment, but the guy who he has featured on the song, he came out to and performed. And yeah, it was a good show. And then I just they decided to go out after, but I was just like, nah, I think I'm too tired from the day, because Friday, I don't know, Friday's kind of hard to like go out and drink, because you're just like, I've been up since 6 a.m. and I just kind of want to hit bed, so I just went straight.
Yeah.
But yeah, then my boy came up on Sunday from Nova Scotia. We chilled. We went to grab a couple drinks and shit, watched a basketball game. And yeah, that was pretty much my weekend. It was a good weekend. Good long weekend.
I've got back to the stand-up thing too, though. So like I used to always go with like one of my exes loved like stand-up comedy and stuff. And like that's how like, I kind of actually met her. And she'd always want to go and like sit in the front and that, you know what I mean?
So yeah, which
like,
is
I'm like yeah, and I'm like, fuck, I just like honestly, but every single time I was like, honestly, I just don't feel like I know what's gonna happen and stuff, right?
Yeah, you're usually gonna get picked on for some of the jokes
like,
or whatever.
More like obviously I don't give a shit. Like it's and I know how it works, so like I've tried to give the comedian something good, right? But like this one time I was like, I don't wanna do it. Like, can we just sit in the back, please? Like I'm just grumpy as hell. It was during All Star Weekend too, the basketball one. It was like whatever.
In Toronto?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh like, shit.
Yeah, this was like in 2015-16 or whatever. And then we sit in the front, and this person's like telling jokes, but you could tell their crowd work was like pre-planned. You know what I mean? Like the jokes were like, he'll be like, oh, I'll see a man and I'll say that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess he was going to look for a couple or whatever. And so we're sitting there and he makes like the joke ends up being like the girl's too good looking for the guy. And I'm like, I look at him like, that's obviously scripted. Like, look at me. What do you mean? Like, are you? I'm a 9 here. Like, you know what I mean? He's just like,
That's what you said. That's what he said.
He said that, but then I was like, that's not even funny because I'm clearly good looking. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, but like, obviously, and then the girl was like, why are you obsessing over this so much? And like, what? It's like, and I'm like, well, I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. Like, he said you're better looking than me. Are you kidding? Like, she's like, okay, maybe he's more trash. No. This kid, the comedian's trash. Like, I kept talking about it all night, and she's like, "I'm sick and tired of you trying to remind me that you're better looking than me." And I'm like, "That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that like, was the comedian blind? Like, you know, just like,
oh my god, yo, that is you to a T, bro.
Yeah,
if there was someone obsessed over some shit like that, oh my god.
And it was so funny. Like, there was like a sixth comedian later too. The guy in front of me was like, man, shut up about the looks thing. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh,
he didn't say
what
the fuck's wrong with you, but he just like,
yeah.
He like, kind of gave her a look like, I feel sorry for you. I was like, well, I feel sorry for this comedian that's blind here. But yeah, no, the when people swing and miss, it's so, I don't really like the cringe of it too. So that's why I don't really like going to amateur night, because it's like, yeah, sure, you get one or two that are like funny, or you discover someone or whatever, but there's like a guaranteed 3 or 4 they're just like, fuck, I can't even make eye contact with these people, I feel so bad for them. You know what I mean?
It's yeah,
like, amateur comedy is so hit or miss, and it's such a, yeah, like it's just hard too. Like, you need the right comedian and the right crowd and stuff. Like, I've even paid for ones and I was like, I want a refund, that was terrible.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid this girl's eyes throughout her set, because I knew it was just going to be a train wreck and her trying to figure out something. Like, I thought she was going to look at me and trying to figure out something and just ask me, and I'm like, I don't want to be asked any questions whatsoever.
It's funny too. And there's some like notorious, so I went and there's this really, really bad guy or whatever. I have like two other friends who've gone to like stand-ups as well, and that guy's been there too. So there's a guy like basically on tour of Toronto doing stand-up, and everyone's just like, that's the worst I've seen. Like, he's just, and he just keeps going. Like, he's been doing it for like 5 or 6 years, and everyone's just like, it's so painful how this guy keep doing it. But, you know, at least he found his something he likes, passion, hobby, one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really get good till like year 10. Like, you don't get like TV good till like year 10. Like,
yeah, yeah,
or like,
I mean, or it just doesn't happen at all. Like,
Yeah, but you never know. You never know until you keep trying. That's the thing about comedy.
No, I know. But you have so many fucking middle-aged like hacks still going at it. You can't really blame them. But that's why I was like, when I started, I was like, man, I'm going to get so frustrated if I like put all my energy into this and it doesn't go anywhere. Too, I'm like, I'm just not built for failure like that.
Yeah, there is a huge grind, and the competition's quite high as well too. Like, you got to put a lot of time into comedy if you want to be one of the real good ones. And even when you are really good, sometimes, like you said, it doesn't necessarily. I mean, when I say it doesn't pan out, because a lot of people think that it's automatically got to be like you got to get your own special or whatever.
No,
which isn't necessarily the case. You just got to be good enough to get paid well to do it. Is what it is more so. So,
agreed. Yeah. So that was your weekend?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, yeah.
I had a calm one. I was, because I was still coming down from being sick and stuff. So
I'm just glad it was a long weekend, because that means this week's pretty short. Like, tomorrow's already Thursday, and then Friday we're back at the weekend again. Although, I mean, the start of my summer's been pretty good so far. Like, this is like, the start of the summer has been pretty good. It's just been it's still hot in the city though. Like, there's a lot of carjackings and shootouts, and the gas prices are insane. Inflation's still a mother. Now we got the monkeypox coming out, so people got to be safe out there, man. I don't know what's gonna happen in these next few months.
This is why I just want to burn down quickly, because now we're gonna be in a slow burn of things falling apart. You know what I mean? Like, if it was just like full on apocalypse type thing, like, at least we're getting it over with. But now we're just kind of like, I don't know if I want to go to the park and get shot, or like stay at the mall and get COVID, or like, so it's like, and then they're like, capitalism is kind of bad, but my friends are still not homeless, so I shouldn't do anything about it. And just everything is, it keeps you in between, you know? They keep you complicit. You're like, I'm just struggling to keep your head above water, you know, so people don't do anything. But if it was like COVID and things, everyone flipped out and no one was working, the malls were burning and stuff, we'd get quick change. But now we have to just be like, so they get you slow.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the monkeypox, I'm hoping that doesn't really become a thing, because I want a good summer. I don't want this shit to be.
It's been around for a while. It's not nearly as contagious as,
Isn't it sexually transmitted too?
Yeah, it's very intimate, like, as well too. Or like, if you do other way, I don't know, but it's hard to get. And plus, it's been around for a while. I don't know why people are acting like this. Like, the monkeypox was talked about like before COVID and stuff. Like, I guess it spreads a bit, but
I literally never heard it before though. That's
no, I know, but that's why, because it wasn't that big of a. It's, I feel like people are like capitalizing on it. Off COVID, you know what I mean?
You mean the media and the government?
Well, people, no. Well, like, I mean, even shit like Six Buzz, who, like, I said, they're the first ones, like, when they started bringing it back, like, posting it, and I already heard of monkeypox before, and they're making it sound, like, and then everyone would go in the comments and be like, fuck, like, we're dying again and stuff. And
yeah,
like,
that's the media. They're also the media.
But the people could have to do their work, like, Six Buzz. Like, you're just going to be like, oh, I'll go off the title of Six Buzz. You can't trust them to be. And then you have, like, thousands of people going off the nonsense they say. And just like, okay, the media is tricking you, but you're also, like, you have the brain of a 5-year-old child, so I can't even blame the media. But yeah, that's my complaint right there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree, but it is what it is. I just realized, like, I got back on the internet the wrong time. I'm seriously contemplating just going off of it again, because I'm like, man, reading all this shit, especially with this next story, which you're taking the lead on. Like, I have no business talking about this whatsoever. But yeah, there was a school shooting in Texas. What do you remember the city? I don't remember the name of the city, to be honest.
Yeah, it's with an A or something. But yeah, I can't remember.
Uvalde, Texas. So I don't know what the total count is. Last time I checked, they were at 19 who passed away, which is obviously a shame. And
like 18 of them were kids. It was an elementary school too. So
like, yeah, which had nothing to do with the shooter. Like, the shooter was being bullied in high school for apparently people calling him poor and all that stuff.
But this nigga, so that's what people were saying, but also he had like the brand new iPhone in a picture.
He was driving
a car, and what was the other
thing? He got the guns.
$2,500.
Like, yeah.
Like, was he really, you know? There's always two sides to the story.
Like, that's the weird part about it. It's like, he was getting teased for being poor, but yeah, he had all these luxuries. And I think, like, yeah. I don't know, when you think about it, though, that's part of, like, the American capitalism thing, too, is, like, in America, yeah, if you're not, like, maybe his clothing wasn't up to par or whatever, and that's why the kids are making fun of him, but you can have a perception of being rich in America and not necessarily be rich at the same time, too.
Yeah, like, for sure. But, like, he wasn't just, like, even I have the 7 phone type thing, you know? Like, he has, like, the 11. Like, why don't you go trade that in, get a couple $100, you'll get some fresh swag, buddy.
Yeah, or the 13. But that's the thing. Maybe he's, like, a tech geek. Like, he's into that stuff, and he doesn't really care about his clothing.
Like,
and then
I don't know. It's hard. You're 18. Like, you're getting made fun of for dressing. Like, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're trying to justify bullying, but also, fuck, man. Like, life's hard. You can get some swag.
I mean, I'm not justifying. I just think that everyone gets bullied, though. It's like, how do you react? I don't think shooting up a school is worth getting is worth what you got bullied for. It's like, that's not the appropriate response matter. So
also too, like, in this story, like, those stories, like, oh, they got, like, there's always, it's not always black and white for, like, kids to get bullied. Like, I remember there's one kid he was a year younger than me, and he used to always get, like, bullied, like, so hard. But he would always instigate it. I'd be like, what are you doing, kid? Like, you know, and then he'd be in the, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, and then, but if you talk to anyone, they'd be like, oh, we gotta watch out for Tim, like, he's just getting bullied and stuff, and it's like, Tim is fucking doing it on his own. Like,
he started it.
Like, yeah, be fuck you guys, and then, like, run away. And then he's like, Tim, what are you, like,
dude? I know that exact kid from my high school. That's why it's so funny.
An hour later, you're walking by, he's stuffed in a locker, and I'm like, Tim, why do you say that? Like, you could have just had a normal day and not inside this locker. And he's like, well, fuck them. And I'm like, all right, I'm leaving you here. Bye. Like, the kid, like, it's never black or white. Like, especially two as well. Like, that guy probably. Like, you know, a person like that could kill 18 children, it probably had a reason to get bullied, if you know what I'm saying. Like, that guy probably was a pretty violent, instigating person on his own before that, too. So I doubt it's black and white like that. Like, he would have turned out to be some good person without bullying. But yeah, that was insane. Am I taking this over now?
Yeah, you can continue from here on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty nuts. I mean, most of the shootings we see are high school. But it's weird, though. Remember when Sandy Hook first happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, remember how much we freaked out, though, because it was elementary school kids?
Yeah.
Versus, like, now that it's equally as sad, or there might even be a couple more now or something like that. And, like, we're just kind of about it, like, even more. Because it was kind of, like, shocking with Sandy Hook. Like, you have 7, 6, 8-year-olds and stuff. But I definitely noticed, obviously, everyone's like, oh, shit, that's crazy, and they have their whatever, they're like, feel sad in that, but it's definitely, you could tell it's kind of easier to swallow, or it's just like, yeah, that's America at this point, which is getting crazy. Like, just,
it's pretty fucked up. Yeah, that you can dismiss it like that.
Yeah. And then it's, and then also the
wait, real quick, America, though, before you move on to your point, try not to forget it, but was Sandy Hook the first, like, did they start going up after Sandy Hook? Was that the major one that set off, or like, they've kind of always had this issue
with this? So they have always had the issue, but from, like, the shootings they fluctuate, like, since this, when they started counting them, like, the 60s, 70s and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they had happened before, and there's one before Columbine and, like, stuff like that, and the averages haven't gone up that much. But it is, but the thing is, they're like, oh, the media, obviously, but this is one of those things the media can't ignore. So, like, the intense coverage, to a degree, like, is good. You know what I mean? Like, this, not to sensationalize it is a bad thing, but we should be reporting on it. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that there's about the same amount or just a little bit more compared to the 90s, I don't think changes anything to it. And people just kind of use that as an excuse to be like, oh, it's not that bad. It's like, no, it was just terrible in the 90s, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is said not to say, like, oh, we've always had this type of thing. It's just to be like, it's just always been terrible, and we need to finally do something. That's what the argument should be. It shouldn't be like, oh, this has kind of always been a thing. You know what I mean? Like, so it was dying of, like, rabies for a couple hundred years, but you do something about it. It's not the first time. Sandy Hook wasn't even the first time. There's some crazy stories out there with school shootings all the way back to the 70s and that, but the fact guns are getting more intense, even more rapid, we have more guns, they have more guns, I'll say we because I'm American, we have more guns out there than anyone else in, they have more guns than people, there's about 300 million people and about 300 million guns too, so, which is insane. I honestly think America's too far gone There's point. I'm saying that you shouldn't not try to get rid of these guns and everything, but the way they fetishized them and made them to toys and everyone to have one, I think it's almost like we'll never see the change of it in our lifetime.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think they should start doing it and reducing it and manufacturing less and trying to keep take some. But we'll never see the effects of that. Like 10 years from now, everyone's gonna have guns still and places unless America changes culture, which takes a long time. So we'll never be around for that. I totally support starting now, and we need to do that in that. But there's no solution that will stop it from 5 years from now. Like,
yeah, 100%.
The shift in culture takes so long. So that's why it becomes so dangerous, though, when people are like, oh, it's not even that bad right now. You know what I mean? That's why. It's because when something's like, once it gets further enough in culture, it takes another 50-100 years to reverse around. You know what I mean? So that's why it's important for a lot of these things to nip them in the butt. Like, we're watching, even if we want to cancel all guns, never made a gun again, America's still fucked, like, for another 100 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because even if you never made one, there's still millions and millions of them out there already, so they're always going to be accessible. So there's two things as well too. School shootings have increased a little bit, 19% from the 20th century to the 21st century. So yeah, from before 2000 and 2000, from 2000 to 2020, they've increased 19%. It's still moderately in the same ballpark, like you said, but it definitely has gone up a little bit.
And the gun, the precisions too. Like, now before, I'm going in with my daddy's hunting rifle, and now they're like, I'm going in with this gun that shoots a million bullets in 2 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everyone can get ARs and AKs and shit like that. It's like, I don't understand those guns though. Like, I get if someone wants, a handgun for self-defense or handguns to go shooting shit, in the whatever. But I not get, Uzis and things that will, dump mags in, 5 seconds. And shit, why were they even produced for non-military at any point? You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason a human being needs to be able to shoot, a gazillion bullets in a minute.
Dude, hogs, bro. What are you talking about?
Wild hogs. What if there's 30 feral hogs and my children are fucking stuck on the other side? What do I do about 30 feral hogs, huh, Mr. Politician?
Dude, that was one of the greatest tweets of all time. There's two things that kind of strike out to me, not from this, just in general, that I've noticed in America. And one of them is that you said the culture, and it's like, in the United States, because the guns are built into the Constitution, people have this mentality that it's their God-given right to own a gun because it's in the Constitution. And that's a really hard thing to flip and overturn, because when it's in the Constitution like that, it basically essentially means you're allowed to have a gun just as much as you're allowed to breathe. Like, that's the fight that people are... that's a fight that people have to realize are going up against when it comes to the people who love guns. It's like you taking away someone's guns is like saying that they can't breathe or they can't have the right to live in that country, essentially. Like, that's where it's so ingrained in them. And then on the second thing too is that the United States is a business over everything. Like, I don't know if people know this, but they're not really a country that has your best interest. Like, the government doesn't give a fuck about you. They don't care about any of that shit. Whatever makes money is what is going to be allowed in this country. So until somehow guns are not profitable, or there's a way to make them unprofitable, you're never going to see any change. And that's why, like you said, we're not going to see this change happen in the next in our lifetime whatsoever. Yeah. I don't even know if it's ever going to happen, because putting those two things together, greed and people's idealization that this is their right, are like, that's some of the hardest shit to change in culture. I don't know how you change that culture whatsoever.
You don't, and that's the thing is, people saw it coming from so far along, you know what I mean? And it is now all so deeply ingrained. And like you said, see, the thing is, what a lot of people don't know too, besides that, the Constitution thing, which I think is dumb, but you're right. I think it's stupid how much people hold to something made 400 years ago. It's idiotic. But it definitely makes people more stubborn and insane. But also what people don't know too is, the behind scenes, how much, not only are there companies making money, all these companies and the NRA, which is the biggest gun group and stuff, fund the politicians,
yeah,
so
they lobby for them, yeah,
all of that shit, just behind doors and everything. That's why you'll never see, you can go look it up too, and it'll show you exactly which politician is getting money. And it's all like Republicans, like Mitt Romney and stuff, who's like supposed to be the most. That's why he never speaks out against guns, because he gets like $20 million a year from the NRA and stuff like that. So yeah, it's so intertwined in it. And then, but you know what I also find the funniest about the like this thing is, when Americans are like, well, look how like crazy the government is. Like, if they come for, like, if they come get it, like, whatever, like, something goes, we have to be able to fight them. It's like, that was made when you were using muskets. Like, and when this thing was, like, installed to fight against the tyranny of the government, it was, like, you were using, like, muskets and stuff. And they were using, like, didn't have tanks in that. Like, you're not going to fight the government now. Like, they're going to, like, come take my gun. It's like, if they really wanted to, they would. They kill you and you couldn't do anything about it. Like, you're not going to ever fight off the military or any of that. They just like the idea of, that makes them think that they're powerful, but you're more likely to fucking shoot your neighbor in a dispute over something dumb. So, yeah, it's just so ingrained. But that also doesn't mean we'd stop. Though trying, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean, there's got to be some solution. My issue with this as well too now though is that this happens so often and it just keeps repeating the cycle. Like, people get so someone kills a bunch of kids or kills a bunch of people, the media sensationalizes it, everyone gets upset and starts posting about it, and then we all talk about it for like 3 days, and then the next week something else happens, or we just don't give a F anymore, and then nothing actually comes of it. So it's like, that's my biggest issue with this, because the Democrats run the House. They could pass legislation to change any of this, but it's clear, like I said, America's a business. They're not going to be able to change that, because they're all bought by, like you said, the NRA, and they're backed by these people. Like, a lot of times I know, like, a lot of people like to pin this and be like, oh, it's the Republicans' fault, and they're going to be able to block this. And it's like, no, like, it's all politicians. Yeah. Like, the Democrats are just as much to blame, because they could easily change. They could easily pass something in order to get this change in some kind of fashion. But like you just said, they're all like, a lot of them are paid off, and that's not really going to happen. Like, you have to play the game of politics as well too. So like, let's say you take this away from the Republicans or whatever, then you know going forward that like nothing in your favor is ever going to get changed in that manner too. Like, there still is that level of, you have to be able to like come to agreements with some of the other side. But in terms of this, like, they could get something done, but I just think that they know in the next few years, whenever power changes over, that they're not going to be able to get whatever they want to get done. So the politics game is a stupid one. It's a terrible system. Having a two-party system is such a terrible system.
Yeah,
and that's another confluence that's going to make it real hard to make any reasonable change happen as well too. So I don't know how you solve this. Like, I really don't know what the solution is. Like, until maybe there's some kind of technology that's able to kind of like figure out a way to stop this, I just don't see a solution anytime soon, other than like the people obviously revolting. I think people like to shout on Twitter and say all that stuff, but at the end of the day, a lot of people just care about themselves. And until we realize that, like, or they realize that they have to band together and make some kind of change on like a ground level, then and you have to be in it for the long haul too. Like, that's the only way that something's actually going to change. Like, we got to stop doing this bullshit. Like, oh, let's just vote and things will change. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. I agree on all that.
Vote on a state level too. I think state level matters. Like, state and city level. I mean, those are the big
city
things.
City and everything. All of that stuff that starts on the ground. Like, you locally. But here's the thing too. There's so much politics in that, and like how like senators can rearrange what areas you can vote in, and then like what you know what I mean. Like, there's so many little things that they can politicians, even when you do go out and vote and stuff, like, just switch it around. Like, you know what I mean? Say, like, how we have it on the larger scale. Like, Wyoming is worth the same vote as California. You know what I mean? Even though California.
Oh, yeah. You mean in federal elections?
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, those little tricks, though, and stuff, too. Like, there's, like, zoning for who votes for what.
Saying,
you know what I mean? Like, the politicians ahead of time, before they vote, will be like, oh, they move around little things. So even though they win the like small city and state stuff as well too, so it's very hard. Like, even when it is in your interest, once the politicians decide, like, we can all agree on something, which I think with gun regulations was like up to 90%, 80% agreed on it, like some sort of regulation, and then abortion was like 70%. So you have the majority, but then it's all in the hands of those politicians, and they get paid to do it. So even when we want something and you do it together, that kind of happens. My last point too also was, the hardest thing though for me is, is so when I'm like, oh, there should be gun bans and like all of that stuff. But I also like, I kind of, even for like a liberal person who has a gun, like those conservatives aren't going to give up their guns and do stupid shit and stuff too. So it's like the people most likely, you know what I mean? Like to tell black people like, don't.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's what I struggle with too.
I'm 100% in agreement with that too. Like I'm for black people owning guns, to be honest, just because of the state of America and like the fact that they're, like you said, like those crazy, not crazy, well, I guess the crazy ones, because not all conservatives are crazy, but some of the crazy conservatives or some of the crazy gun owners, the fact that they have them, I think like black people should have them too, just so that they're able to protect their own and be able to protect their own people. Like,
yeah, like it's this, not, and it's not the same comparison either, because like when I say, oh, conservatives should give up their guns, and they're like, what about the government? Like the government's always done, like it will protect you. Like you don't need those guns. Like it's not like China is coming to fucking take it from your shit and stuff. Like that's what the military is there. The only reason like people who are in minority groups and stuff is like, there's such a small one and they're already faced with like psychos and stuff like that. So that's where I struggle. Like, obviously I believe fully in especially gun checks and everything like that, but it also like kind of gives me this pit in my stomach when I think about like the, you know, minorities and like black people and stuff giving up their guns and all the psychos keep them in that too. So when I'm like, do I even want to say this? Or like, should they get rid of guns and that? Like they're so far deep fucked that it almost doesn't make sense, but you have to start somewhere. So that's what I kind of struggle with this whole issue.
Yeah. I tend to avoid bringing that up during these moments because I know everyone's super charged and stuff.
Yeah.
And as much as it's a valid point, I like, you can't trust the internet to understand where you're coming from whenever you tweet something. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm just not going to tweet it because I know like this is probably going to get misconstrued if I say something about like, oh, black people should probably keep their guns just in case type shit. Cause I know the internet's just, they're stupid. Like someone's going to misconstrue something and then you're just going to be, then you're going to become the main character of Twitter and you never want to become the main character of Twitter.
Oh, for sure. I was actually thinking about that. Like I tweeted something. I was like, oh, fuck. Like I went to bed and I woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, what? Like you wake up to get ratioed sucks.
You know? Yeah.
Like I was looking at other people who just like sent out a tweet and then they probably like wake up the next day and they're like, and everyone's like, you fucking scumbag. Like there's like thousands of comments on your Twitter and stuff. I was like, that's a pretty big nightmare. Like that would give me a panic attack to wake up to, or like to see and stuff. You just start getting ratio and it's like too late. Someone screenshot at you. You're like, fuck, I'm fucked.
Yeah. I tweeted something once about, COVID and I didn't get like ratioed, but it was just a whole list of like discussions. Like so many people were replying to it and stuff. I mean, maybe I did get ratio cause there's a lot of like quote tweets to it, but
yeah.
I was just like, man, like this, I knew this was going to happen because like you only have so many characters. So once you say it, like we were automatically going to take a stance against what you say. And it's just like, that's not what I was getting at. Like, that's not what I meant by what I was saying.
Plus you got to know your audience.
Yeah, that too.
Twitter's like a different beast.
But did you see this Juneteenth guy that got ratioed?
No.
Over the weekend? Oh man, this is so funny. So one guy tweeted out, you can't celebrate Juneteenth. And your significant other is white. You've been disqualified. And this other guy who I guess is married to, well, not guess, but who this other guy who's married to a white woman got wind of it and he was super upset. And he retweets and goes, what's up, fool? So where do you get off with racist dumbassery like this? Juneteenth is a celebration for everyone to support. Been doing it in Texas for decades, no matter who is married to whom. And then he replies to himself saying, Juneteenth isn't a racial thing. Hell, it's not even really a political thing at the end of the day. It's a freedom thing. Something people of all skin colors can learn and can lean into.
Yikes.
It's one of the most positive celebrations out there. So why are you trying to gatekeep the shit with a smiley, laughing emoji? Yeah, he literally tweeted this out.
It's a real human though? Like it's not
not a bot. It's a real dude. So of course, Black Twitter caught wind of it and they ratioed the hell out of this guy because he was saying the fact that he said that Juneteenth isn't racial is really what set everyone up. Cause I don't know how the freeing of slaves.
I was like, oh, that's cringy. And then you said, it's like everyone to celebrate their freedom. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
how is the freedom of slaves not racial?
Yeah. Just inviting the other team too, like come on.
Yeah, this guy is so that's dumb.
That's why I was like, is this a troll? Because it's too perfect. Like,
But when you look at his when you look at his page, you can see why he would tweet something like that. First, he started that tweet off by saying "What's up, fool?"
Yeah,
and then that like took me out. Yeah, like that's what I was thinking too. But then they went on his page and like you could see him just super in love with this woman, and he calls her Khaleesi. And yeah, so they started tearing him up because they found his wife, like some of the photos of his wife, and they were comparing her to everyone. So one of them was they're saying your wife looks like Jay Leno.
Yo, and Twitter, I love the body. Like, Twitter's all about don't body shame, but when it like comes into going in on people fucking they're like
they snap, bro. Yeah, calling her Miss Trunchbull from oh man, I can't remember what movie that was. Matilda. I don't know if that's the movie. From Matilda. They're like, yo, your bitch looks like Kane from WWE. They're calling her what's his name? Belichick?
Belichick. Oh, the football coach.
Yeah, what's his first name though?
Bill.
Bill Belichick. They're like your wife looks like she has an assortment of hoodies in her closet.
Yo,
they were calling her Quentin Tarantino. Like, I'll send you the link, but
yeah. But I honestly, I just can't believe a person would say the first, like, that's so nuts. Like, if I had a white wife, I was going to a Juneteenth party, I'd be like, you're sitting this one out, honey. Like, you're not coming.
Yeah.
To the picnic. Like, you are not coming to the picnic. Like, and she should have no qualms, no issues with that either. Like, this is the one family anniversary you're sitting out right now. I was like half. I'm only gonna go for half the time because I only had half the issue. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, ooh, I don't know. Like, I got the key in the house, so I don't know if I should even be celebrating this myself. Like, I was kind of following master's rules. I was fucking. I'm Samuel Jackson in the fucking Django. Like, I was like, ah. So that's why I was like, oh, I don't know about all that. Like, the audacity for this woman, for him to say that is nuts. Oh God.
Yeah,
that,
man.
Honestly, he should be a script like on SNL or something.
I don't think they do it justice, but I know what you're getting.
No, but you know
at.
What
like,
I mean.
Yeah. This should definitely be turned into a clip.
Or Key and Peele, maybe. That would have been a good one.
Yeah, that would be a great one. But ooh. Yeah, man, you can't have a wife that doesn't look like, and I don't mean this in the worst, like in a bad way. You can't have a non-attractive wife and have these takes on Twitter is all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
because his wife probably had nothing to do, like his wife had nothing to do with this. She was probably just minding her business. Like, yeah, I don't even know if she knows about it, but she is minding her business.
She married a man like that. Though,
and yeah. And she's getting roasted on Twitter for no reason. Like,
I know.
You just, her colleagues might even have caught wind of this or some shit. She doesn't even know.
It just takes one person. Like,
yeah,
she
like
it's like it'll be on the internet forever now too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the kids are gonna see this. Like, they've got babies. Yeah, so like, when the kids grow up,
every Juneteenth, I'll just be like, oh, remember that great tweet? Go back to it. Like, my great grandkids will be watching. Like, when that guy got dragged, you remember that?
Oh man, now that you mentioned that, Juneteenth's in like 3-4 weeks. I'm definitely bookmarking this so I can just retweet it on Juneteenth. Go viral off that.
Yeah, I'm breaking up with all my girlfriends.
Bro, I'm looking at some of these photos, man. I don't even know who this guy is, but like, this is an ugly person. They're calling his wife this person. It's just like, Jesus.
Man, and Twitter, I was also too. So you didn't see that? Oh, we got a quick add to that. One of the basketball guys who covers Golden State.
Oh yeah, I saw this one. Yeah.
His brother is. People are getting confused because they're both blue check Twitter, but his brother's like super legit. Like, on, you know, probably makes like good money and like a respected reporter. But the other guy, he's still on radio shows and like his brother
Chris Haynes, I think it is.
Yeah.
Or Chris Haynes,
like radio shows, and he's a blue check and goes to all the Golden State games and all of that as well and covers stuff. So he's still like semi-legit. And he said, this is also Twitter getting your ass. So he covers Golden State and for some reason, which was weird though. And he called Steph Curry a front runner. So people were like, how the hell is he a front runner? He's drafted by this blah, blah, blah. Got mad. So Golden State fans went and found his Twitter and went back in time. And I guess, you know, like he didn't delete his 2010, 2011 tweets, and he kept that as his professional page.
Yeah.
And for 10 years, this man has been tweeting with his, like, burner when social media first started. shit.
Yeah.
And even like I had unhinged fake Twitter accounts, and even I was like, whoa, that is insane. Like even I wouldn't say that when I was a kid or a teenager and stuff when Twitter was first around.
Yeah.
And this man, he's like, and was insane. Did you see the tweets? Like,
I saw the tweet. So, okay. So the first few that I saw, I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. This is like typical same. 2011. This is typical 2011 Twitter. Like, I'm not really that shocked. But then there were so many, and I kept reading the other ones. I'm like, okay, now you're, I don't know, bro. Like, some of these were kind of like, I don't know if I would even tweeted these back in the day. But yeah, so it's okay. So Chris Haynes is the Warriors dude, and I think it's Mark Haynes who had his account that was regular. So he's a brother. Brother.
So he doesn't work for the Warriors, but he drank.
Yeah, he doesn't work for the Warriors. But yeah, they were let me read some. I actually found some.
And these are not the offensive ones, or are they?
No, some of these are offensive, but not that crazy. Okay, so here's one that's not that offensive. You know you're a freak with a you know you're a freak when you moan while eating chicken nuggets and she wasn't fat either. What? That didn't even make sense. Hold on. Let me think on that one.
Well, lots of them were off. That's what's also crazy, too. Is like
Twitter after dark. Ladies, would you have sex with me?
Yo, this guy. But also, too, that was like his writing is like was all borderline incoherent.
Yeah, some of these are journalists now. Terrible.
Although I looked incoherent if you look at the old Facebook.
Let your breath hit her clit when you lick it, unless your breath stank.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not against interracial porn, long as it's a black dude yamming a white girl, not the other way around. Not cool.
Okay, also, like, when he said that, I was like, oh man, I thought they're like, oh, it was from when he was younger and stuff. This man was still 31 when he opened his account. I thought he was 20.
Yeah, but the culture was still acceptable at that time, though. Even when you're 30, the culture was acceptable.
Though, like from 20 to 30, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way I would do. I would have said.
Some of these I still wouldn't have said. Yeah,
it's just like the fact that it's not even funny. You know what I mean? It's just like you're like okay at this point. It's not the fact. Like it's just like you're 30. That's why I was like I lost a lot. When I made my thing, I was 20. I was like, oh, this is looking back like 2 years later. I was like, that was ridiculous. This man was like 31 when he's opened his Twitter account.
Yeah.
Like,
he's got, one about gay folks as well, too, which I'm not going to repeat.
Oh, he has a couple. And then like weird Asian ones, too. So that was wild.
I saw that and I was just like, yeah.
But the craziest part of this one is this man didn't. He just kept like when he started becoming a journalist.
Yeah, he should have definitely gone back and cleared that.
Are you nuts? Like, it was just insane how they do. Because I had a Twitter account that was basically run from my university that would say wild stuff. I'm trying to imagine taking that account and then just be like, I'm Gabe one day. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, now this is a journalist account for my professional career. And the whole time it's like, I wish I was shadow boxing outside of a woman's abuse shelter and stuff like that. Like, Jesus. So. Crazy.
Yeah, that's some wild shit. But that'll do it for episode 130 of the Pops Culture Podcast. I'll save this bad vegan stuff for next week.
Bad girl.
But yeah, do you have anything you want to say to the people, Gabe, before we hop off this?
Why? Dude? It made me feel like I should have something to say.
I don't know. Maybe you have something going on you want to tell people or you want to apologize. Here's your chance at the end. I don't know.
Oh, man, the amount of people. You know what? This is a good platform to apologize in, but I don't think any of them now that need to apologize are going to listen. So
yeah, or all the way to the end, especially too.
Yeah, a hard pass on that. So no, save it for later.
All right, with that, as always, guys, continue to like, rate, review, subscribe on all major streaming platforms. That's iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and now iHeartRadio, as well as Reasons FM. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.